Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see everyone here. Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's house. He has provided it for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen indeed. During these past 5 or 6 weeks, when Connie was dealing with her problem and she was in the hospital for 10 days and I was going back and forth, I had an opportunity to watch a lot of people at the hospital. And I talked to several of them while I was waiting to hear from when she'd been taken for tests and things like that. And I could tell in their demeanor and in some of the things they said that they really were concerned with who cared. Who cared about their loved ones and who cared about them. And in one instance, I tried to share with one person that was there that I knew that there was someone who cared for me and cared for Connie. And I thought about that and was reading an article and a sermon outline and several other things, and it kept coming back to a particular time in Jesus' life that I thought would be appropriate to talk about today under this topic of who cares. Who cares is an interesting phrase. Merely the tone with which it is said can tell a person's intention or could tell you the meaning that they mean by the phrase, who cares. You know, there's a cheer that I've seen used at college basketball games. Some of you may have participated in it, and some of you may have seen it. Well, while the other team's players are being announced, the opposing team's fans holds up a newspaper in front of their face, and when the name is announced, they say, who cares? You know, of course, that's designed to frustrate and make angry the other team's players so they won't play quite as well as they might could. The phrase can show a lack of concern about a person or about their problems or about something that's going on in their life. This phrase has the ability to rock and shake us to the very core when we ask ourselves, who cares? Who cares about us? And our text this morning is Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. And this is at a time when Jesus has been telling parables to the people. He had dealt with the Pharisees, and he had appointed the 12 disciples, and he had dealt with the parable of the sower, and he had dealt with the lamp on the stand, and then he talks about the mustard seed. And then when all that's over, we come to the 35th verse of chapter 4 of Mark. That day, when evening came, he, meaning Jesus, said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. And he's talking about the other side of a lake. They had been on that particular side where they were now, and he had been talking to people and telling them these parables, and he had been answering the disciples' questions about the parables. And now he said, let's go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." May God add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of his word. The disciples experienced a who cares moment during the storm that mentioned in the scripture that we just read. They were convinced that the boat was sinking, and I bet if they had cell phones, they would have called friends and loved ones to say goodbye. There were no life preservers on board. There were no Coast Guard or any rescue teams to come get them. But they ran to Jesus, who was asleep in the stern of the boat, and they woke him up and asked him this question, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" What can we learn from this text today? What lessons can we glean from this account of Jesus and the disciples in a boat on the lake during a storm? Well, the first lesson I think we can learn is that we can experience who cares moments even with Jesus on board. The truth is, Jesus can be on board in our life, and still we have a day, a week, a month, or even a year during which we are convinced that no one cares. Consider these scenarios. My health is failing. I have done everything I know to find healing. I am exercising. I am eating healthy. I am taking my medicine, but I am at my wit's end. My health is still going downhill. Who cares? I am working so many hours, I have no real life. I have cut everything non-essential. I still come up short financially. I'm living on a budget. I have tried every financial solution in the book. Yet my money still runs out before my month. The mountain of worry that I have over my financial situation is crushing me emotionally and mentally. Who cares? I have cried myself to sleep. I have attended events where there may be possible candidates for companionship. I have presented myself in the very best light, and still I found no one for me. I go home to an empty house. I have no one to share my dreams, hopes, and fears. Who cares? I have done my best. I have believed. I have prayed. I have wept. And still I have found no solution for my problem. My addiction is not broken. My dreams are still shattered. Who cares? Even with Jesus on board in our life, we still have moments when we are not sure that anyone cares. And some of us may be here today and be at such a point in our life, we are not sure anyone, even Jesus, cares what we are experiencing. But remember this first lesson, that it is human to ask who cares, even with Jesus on board, because we can still have those who care moments. The second lesson I think we can learn from our text is, do not mistake Jesus' lack of concern to our problems for do not mistake Jesus' lack of response to our problems for lack of concern or lack of control. Jesus' lack of response does not equate to a lack of care. In fact, I believe that Jesus' lack of expected response speaks more about who we are than it does about Jesus. We all desire certain responses from Jesus. Jesus, I expect you to bail me out of this situation now. Jesus, I expect you to heal me now. Jesus, I expect you to balance my bank account now. Jesus, I expect you to save my relationship now. Well, can Jesus fulfill all these expectations now? Of course he can. However, as we know, Jesus does not always respond in the manner which we expect or which we want or within the time frame that we want. Our problem is we equate a lack of a miracle from Jesus, a lack of communication from Jesus, and a lack of provision from Jesus. We equate that to lack of care by Jesus. Yes, there are some people who sleep through our storms and our problems because of lack of care. But however, others sleep through them because they are confident of the outcome, and such is why it is absolutely crucial to have the right people on board the boat during the storm. Jesus was not sleeping on the boat because he was unconcerned regarding the storm. He was simply confident of the outcome of the situation. And some of you need to jettison some unconcerned folks from your life. They're there for the drama. You know, they like the drama. You know, will you be able to pay the bills? You know, will you be able to, you know, to feel better next week or next month? They care about the drama. They care about how you can benefit them. They care about their lives and their issues. However, there are some people, and to you, Jesus may be one of them, who we believe do not care because they don't come running to us wide-eyed and panicked with concern for our problems. You know, we want them to concentrate only on us and see it as the big issue that we have developed it to be in our life. We feel they have abandoned us, and our first reaction is to walk away from them. Well, just be careful, because it may be their lack of apparent concern is because they are convinced of the favorable outcome of the issue that we face. Our storm may scare us, yet our nerves do not make Jesus nervous. We get in trouble when we want him to be as nervous as we are, when we don't perceive him caring because he's not nervous, because he's not afraid, because he's not panicked, because he's not wide-eyed and running around scurrying and looking for a solution. It's at such moment that we fail to understand Jesus' presence. We fail to understand the care he has and the plan he has for our life. Do not mistake Jesus' lack of response as lack of care. And third, we learn from our text that Jesus' choice of boat should comfort us. Listen to verse 36 again. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with them. Others were facing the same storm as the disciples. Ours is not the only boat being rocked. We think that sometimes, but when we are rational and reasonable in our thinking, we understand that there are people around us who are experiencing the same or similar problems. We should notice on which boat Jesus is a passenger. He could have sailed on any of the boats. He knows that all the boats will be storm-tossed. He knows that all the boats will be nearly swamped. However, Jesus shows concern for the disciples. And he shows concern for us when we allow him into our life by sailing on our boat. He could have allowed us to experience the storm alone. He could have chosen to sit this one out. But instead, he climbed aboard our boat and he was right there with us. We need to be reminded this morning of the fact that Jesus cares. We are not facing the storm alone. Even with all our shortcomings and problems, even with all the dumb mistakes and choices and bad decisions we make, Jesus boards our boat if we allow him. His boat choice should be of comfort to us. The fourth lesson from our scripture today that we can learn is Jesus can speak to and calm our storm. It is absolutely essential to have someone on board in your life who can speak to your storm. Some of us have people on board in our life who can speak to us, who can talk to us about the storm. They can define the storm, they can describe our storm, and they can explain our storm. But the crucial question is, do we have someone on board who has the authority to speak and calm our storm? Who in our life cares so much for us that they will stand up and take authority over our storm? As we know, only Jesus can accomplish this fact. Hopefully, you invite him on board your life. And the fifth and final lesson to be learned from our text is we must fear correctly. Listen to what I'm saying. Our text states that Jesus realized the disciples were so afraid when they saw the storm. So he steps in and he resolves the problem. He quiets the storm. He calms the waves. And then our text uses a stronger word to describe Jesus. If you look in that verse 41, they were terrified and ask each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." They were shaken more by the solution, which was Jesus, than by the problem, which was the storm. They were afraid in the storm, but they were terrified when they saw what Jesus was able to accomplish. And indeed, many of us are more afraid of the solution than we are of the problem. And the reason is the solution requires change. The solution requires work. The solution requires effort. Some of us are afraid of lack of health in our marriage, yet we are terrified of going to a counselor. Some of us are afraid of our financial situation, yet we are terrified of losing cable TV and living on a budget. Some of us are afraid of the solution more than we are of the problem. Could it be the storm will not stop until we are willing to embrace the solution? Listen to this. We must become more afraid of staying in the problem, of staying where we are, than we are of paying the price for a change. Misplaced fear causes misplaced faith. If we fear the wrong thing, we shall believe in the wrong thing. If we fear being alone, we will look to the wrong person to make us happy. If we fear budget, we shall turn to credit cards as our solution. The question this morning that many of us ask ourselves is, who cares? Jesus cares. We are not alone. He may not do what we thought he should do, when he should do it, but that doesn't mean he does not care. Jesus has the authority to calm a storm, just like he did on that lake, when his own disciples who had seen him work miracles, who had seen him heal people, became terrified at him, the solution to their fear of the storm. Do not fear what Jesus says for us to do. He has the authority to calm the storm, to calm the waves, to solve our problems. And if you are here today and do not believe anyone cares, listen to me. Jesus cares. And we, the believers here at Ephesus, care for you. And if you would like to be a part of a body of people who care for you, and this is a caring congregation, this is a praying congregation, they will reach out to you. And if you'd like to be a part of that, if you've decided, I want Jesus on board my boat, I want him to calm my storms, then you need to come forward this morning and accept him as your Savior. And he will come on board. We invite you to do that as we sing our hymn of invitation, hymn number 275.